Oh my God, that was awesome. Mr. Berry, the choir, the band, give them another hand, please. Wonderful, this is wonderful. That is a tough act to follow. Good morning, everyone. God bless you for being here. It's just a very beautiful and special day. I looked out the window this morning. And I said, well, you know, it's looking kind of gloomy. And then I thought to myself, no, that's life. That is good. Any day that I can look out the window and see the trees, you know, blooming and the flowers coming up, that is a good day. So we will just allow ourselves to enjoy new life that's coming forward in spirit. I have to tell you that each time I have come to talk here at Unity of Farmington Hills, I've noticed something new, something different. It seems like there's always something happening here. I really like that idea. You can tell that there's an energy in the church. I went online last night and I saw that you could start, you know, listening to services from the past. I was like, hey, that's new. It's really nice. So keep up the good work. All of you guys are just doing a wonderful job, and I am just so proud to be here and to be able to share with you all. You know, I have been traveling around to many of our churches, as I do in my in the job that I tend to ply. And as I'm moving around to each one of our churches in the association, I notice that there is an idea or concept out here right now that our churches are in a decline, or that we are starting to miss the boat, where we have these wonderful ideas in Unity, but we're not using them in the right way, some people say. But they also notice that there are other church groups and other denominations who are taking the Unity message and using them to perfection and growing their ministries. What came to me, though, was that in Unity, as we are a movement, many times we get stuck in not moving. We kind of get into a place where we stand in a particular place and we don't go forward. Eric Butterworth said the very meaning, the metaphysical meaning of prosperity is moving forward, not looking back, but allowing ourselves to go toward something. We have to get on the path as true students and continue to walk that path and move forward in our goodness and in knowing that there is something greater happening to us at all times. So today I wanted to talk to you about something that's very near and dear to me. This particular lesson title is called Standing in the Power. And standing in the power is truly about being able to stand in that truth, to walk the path and to leave what's behind us, behind us. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to hold on to all the memories and the thoughts of the grandkids and the families and all of those wonderful thoughts. But other than that, I want you to begin to look at life in a different way, to begin to see that it's the spirit within. It's the, as Job said, the breath of the Almighty that makes us understand. And that happens by us allowing ourselves to come into a freshness of ideas, be willing to move forward. So I thought about this particular talk, Standing in the Power. And what came up to me is that this particular lesson is about you. It's about me. It's truly, it's about awakening to a new way of life. And this has been happening for thousands of years. This was the concept of Jesus. He said, you know, I came to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. He came to fulfill the law, not to stand in the old traditional ideas. So we have to begin to see that standing in the power truly is a story of trust and faith. It's a story of healing and wholeness, of prosperity and love. It's a story of giving and receiving, where we begin to see things clearly. We begin to see with righteousness and we begin to see with a sweetness, with the thoughts of liberation, of being set free. And this happens when we allow ourselves to understand and come into the truth of who we are and to begin to discern that truth. And we discern that truth really by allowing ourselves to not get stuck in the appearance of things, but to continue to move forward. knowing that no matter what's happening or what things appear to be, not claiming that, but claiming our goodness, knowing that we can move forward in truth and light. So when we truly stand in the power, we can move mountains. We can shake the world. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was just a student in seminary school in Boston. And they were teaching him this new way of speaking. But Martin wasn't getting it. Martin, in fact, was failing the class. Can you believe Martin Luther King failing a speech class? Well, so spring break came up, and Martin jumped on a train, and he went home to Atlanta to visit his family. And he had the chance to stop and speak with his dad. And while he was talking to his dad, he began telling him how, "I am failing the speech class. I'm just not getting it." And his dad looked him in the eye and said, "Martin, just trust in God." Well, Martin, as a young man, he didn't really understand what he was saying. Martin had been watching his dad and people come into their family church and speaking, and he learned it that way. So he got back on the train, he went back to school, and when he graduated from this particular speech class, he graduated with a C. Imagine Dr. King getting a C. It's a true story. He went on back down south, and he took over a small church in Montgomery, Alabama. And upon the Rosa Parks issue, he was called to become a young leader of this movement of young people. And the day came when he had to deliver a speech. And Martin sat there nervously waiting for his time to come up, for them to call his name. And as he sat there, he began saying to himself, "I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God." Now, I have several Unity speakers and ministers in the room today, and they can attest that that's what we do when we're sitting there. I don't trust in God. Speak through me, Spirit. Talk to me, Spirit. So Martin's saying, "I'm going to trust in God." So Martin's time finally came, and he went up to the podium, and he delivered this speech. And it happened to be one of his greatest speeches of all. In fact, the speech was so good that no one rode the buses for over a year. In that particular speech, Dr. King said, "There comes a time in everyone's life when the cup of endurance runs over and people are tired of being thrown into the abyss of despair." For Martin and that young group, the cup of endurance had run over. For another young group back in 1775, Thomas Jefferson said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." The cup of endurance had run over for that group. In the 16th century, when Martin Luther was reforming the church, he stood at the gates and he said, "Here I stand and I can do no more." You see, the cup of endurance had run over. He was ready to move forward. You see, in every one of our lives, and at some time, the cup of endurance, it runs over. I have to tell you this story about a young man. I was going through seminary 11, 12 years ago, and part of our seminary studies was that we had to intern at one of the local hospitals, and we had to be on call. Yeah, some of you know what I'm saying here, yeah? I chose the trauma center in the local area. So it was my weekend. I put on a pink shirt and a pair of slacks and, you know, a blazer, and I, you know, packed a bag, and I went on to the hospital. I was going to be there for the weekend. And I'm walking the floors, and I'm kind of learning my way around. And that evening, something happened. I was walking past one of the rooms, and I looked in, but there was nothing in the room. I was hearing noises. So I opened the door. The room's completely empty, but there's a set of doors in the back. I'm hearing someone yelling and screaming back there. So I go back to the room, and I open the door, and there's a young man sitting there, 18, 19 years old, handcuffed to the hospital bed. And I'm looking at him, and I introduce myself, and I tell him I'm a student, and I just like to pray with him if I can. And he looks at me, I look at him, he looks at me, I look at him, he says, "What are you looking at?" And I say, I'm thinking to myself, noticing that he's handcuffed to the bed, I say, what are you looking at? He looks back at me again. Says, what are you looking at? Now, I'm like, boy, is it the pink shirt that's making him say these things to me? I say, what are you looking at? I introduce myself again, tell him I just want to pray with him. You know, I'm not here to cause any problems. He basically shrugs me off. I walk out of the room, I leave. I get a call to come down to the emergency room where a young 22-year-old is in the emergency room and he's had a car accident from a drunk driving episode. And the young man doesn't make it. So I pray over his body and then I go out and I pray with his family. It was a pretty tough experience. The moment I walk away from that, I get another call to come up to the maternity ward. And while I'm up there, a young Hispanic family, a young husband and wife have just lost their baby girl. And I go and I, you know, they're Catholic, so they want last rites. So, you know, they give us this rough overview of what last rites is. I have my stole on and my holy water, and I'm giving last rites to the young child. And then I speak with the couple for a while. It was a very sad experience, but for some reason I couldn't get this young man handcuffed to the bed out of my mind. I go back to our rooms and I pull out the Bible and a copy of The Game of Life and How to Play It. And I go back and see the young man. I walk in again and he's giving me that dark stare. I tell him, I just want to, you know, pray with you, and you just let me do this because they require it of me, and if I don't do it, I'm not going to be doing my job. Just help me out here. And I sit down next to him, and I begin to pray with him. I ask if I could hold his hand. He holds my hand, the loose hand, of course, and we pray. Then we start to talk a bit, and I come to find out that the young man is he's a very good kid. He's, you know, he's graduating from high school in a few weeks, and he's got great SAT and ACT scores, and he's already been accepted into a university, and he just happened to be showing up at a time, is what he told me, when the police came, and when he saw them, he ran. And so they picked him up and charged him with the crime. I asked him, why'd you run? You know, he didn't really have an answer. So we sat there, and we continued to talk and pray, and I began reading this scripture in the book of Jeremiah, the first scripture that just came up for me. Well, I then ended, I stood up, you know, I thanked him for allowing me to pray with him, and I gave him the copy of The Game of Life, and I walked out of the door. So I went on doing my hospital chores, and I left, went back to school. A week later, I get a call while I am back doing my internship again. And this call, and so I get the message, I take the message, I go to the phone, I call it, I don't know who it is. It's the young man saying they let him go, they realized it wasn't him, but that something happened to him. In spite of the fact that them letting him go, he felt like the moment he read that book, The Game of Life and How to Play It, that the shackles had already fallen away. He said to me, I already felt like I was free. I just realized that I needed to calm down and allow the process to take hold and things would work out the way they should. You see, the game of life, it teaches us about the Spirit of God within us, about coming forth in the perfect way, allowing ourselves to stand in the truth and then to know that we are giving and receiving creatures. And the fact that he was giving off negative energy, he was getting it back in return. So he said, thank you. You know, I felt free the moment I finished that book. I knew it was going to happen, and I really appreciate you helping me. And we stayed in contact over the years. So I came to realize that the talking about standing in the power is really about not where we're standing or what we're doing, but standing in the power is about the truth of who we are. It's about being willing to go forward in the perfect way, allowing God to do the work in us, not taking hold of these ideas ourselves, but knowing that God is in the midst of our troubles and that we can just turn within and all will be well. All is in divine order. It is the Spirit within the man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes us understand. Sometimes it's not for us to understand, but to allow God to do his work, knowing that the understanding will come forth. You know, in the Bible, a few weeks after Jesus had been crucified, the disciples were all together in the upper room. And Jesus came to them and he told them to accept the Holy Spirit. And it says in that moment that the Holy Spirit filled each one of them. And it filled them in a way that they became charged, energized. They went out on the day of Pentecost and Peter gave a speech. And Peter spoke to the audience. Now, Peter wasn't the speaking type. Peter was usually afraid. But Peter stood up. You know, he was the one who wouldn't walk on the water. He was afraid and woke Jesus up when the thunderstorms were going on. He was the one that said no. He denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed. But on this particular day, with the Holy Spirit in tow, he stood up at Pentecost and he began to speak. And they said the audience was filled with people who spoke different languages. But for some reason, in that moment, everyone understood Peter, and that each one in the crowd was also filled with the Holy Spirit. Later in the book of Acts, chapter 11, Peter is in Syria. He's in Antioch, and he's doing the work of Spirit. He's praying with people and talking to people. The problem is that Peter is filling the Holy, giving the Holy Spirit and praying with Gentiles as well. And in the old way of doing things, you don't pray and fill Gentiles with the Holy Spirit. Peter was a little bit caught in those old ways as well. He wasn't willing to move forward, as Butterworth says, to move into prosperity. Well, Peter was arrested, and Herod had him taken to the prison. And they said that there were four sets of guards that walked with him into the jail cell. And at night, Peter was sleeping with two guards shackled to him on each side. But a voice came to Peter in that moment. The voice said, "Peter, stand up." Peter's eyes opened. The voice said again, "Peter, stand up. Put on your sandals. Put on your cloak." And it says, instantly, the shackles fell away. Peter stood up and he put on his sandals and his cloak. And he began to walk out of the cell. And they said an angel accompanied him, walked him out of the cell, walked him out of the prison, walked him down the road. And from that day forward, Peter was willing to bless and pray with anyone, no matter what their beliefs. He had left that old experience behind. He knew now that the Spirit of God is for everyone and that we have to be willing to stand in our truth. You see, that's what Jesus taught. He taught through precepts and parables, miracles and healing. He taught that we're supposed to move forward, that we're supposed to fulfill our purpose, that we're supposed to demonstrate the truth. Not be concerned with what's in the past, but be willing to move forward into our goodness, to fulfill our purpose. We fulfill our purpose by moving forward to truth. That's what happened with Stephen, the first martyr. He stood there as the persecutors came forth. He told them the Jewish plight. He wasn't afraid. He told them that the Spirit of the Christ is living within me. He was persecuted, but he was willing to move forward. One of the witnesses who was there at that event was named Saul of Tarsus. And Saul was going forth to Damascus to do persecutions, but he fell down on the ground, and they said the scales came over his eyes. He was blinded. And they said in 3 days, he came forward knowing in that moment that Jesus had come to him and spoke to him, asked him, "Why are you doing this?" Saul was never the same. He changed his name to Paul, and he went forth to do one of the most famous, one of the greatest ministries of all time. That was Paul. You see, Paul began to understand that he had to let go of the old ways of doing things and be willing to come forth into a new way. I want to read a passage to you from Paul, and it's from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 through 14. Paul said, and this passage is called "Truth to Lead Me on the Path." He said, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may freely understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. He says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them, and they cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." We've always heard that spiritual truths are spiritually discerned. So what does this passage mean metaphysically? Well, metaphysically, it's saying we cannot get ourselves caught up in human wisdom. So what it's saying is that if you are being the truth, you will know and see the truth. And that if you are being the light, you will know and see the light. If you are being the Spirit, you will know and see the Spirit. You see, standing in the power is not about sickness and weakness or depression or sadness. Standing in the power is about perfect. It's about perfect prosperity and truth. It's not about lack and limitation. It's not about the ego consciousness. It's about perfect health and wholeness and light and love. Standing in the power is not about the ego. It's not about thoughts of inability and incapability. I can't do this. I can't do that. Standing in the power is about mastery. It's about holding on to our truth. You see, we have to begin to see that our very existence, our very moment here on this earth is about bringing forth something, that we each have a purpose. And that purpose has to happen by us being willing to move forward, to go forth into our prosperity and release, let go of what lies behind us. You know, that day when I was sitting in the young man's cell in the hospital, I was reading this scripture from the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to put it up for you. It said, "Cursed is he who puts his trust in human wisdom. Cursed is he and puts his strength in mere humans, and his heart turns away from the Lord." That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. It will not have prosperity. I want to paraphrase it for you the way that I said it to that young man that day. I said, "Do not put your trust in human wisdom, but blessed is he who puts his trust in God and his hope and his confidence in the Spirit. For he will be like a tree by the riverbanks whose roots go deep into the water. He shall bring forth delicious fruit." What do I mean by this, bring forth delicious fruit? Well, if we're just willing to trust in God, as Martin's father said, if we're just willing to have faith that things will come into divine order and bring forth our goodness, then we can allow ourselves to know that we will have delicious fruit. Delicious meaning sweet, meaning good. And fruit means increase, it means plenty. So if we're willing to walk in our truth, if we're willing to walk the path in goodness, to let go of the past, you mean that we can have sweet increase, good and plenty? That sounds like something I've heard before. Then we can become open to knowing and coming forth in the right and perfect way. We don't have to hold on to something that's left behind in order to allow ourselves to come forth in the perfect way. Let me give you an example. Many of our churches are just beginning to get into the whole social media aspect of things, really just beginning to put together websites and all these different things. But what I'm finding at our churches is that many of our churches are beginning to age out. We're becoming a group that's 50 to 90, and we're becoming less of a group that has 20 and 30 and 40 year olds. The thing that we seem not to understand is that every one of our children and our grandchildren, if we look at them, we can see what's going on. From the age of 12 on up, each one of them has something in their hand that they're carrying around. Something in their hand that they can't stop looking at for 15 or 20 minutes at a time. Now, we want them to come sit in our services and not look at their phone for an hour because it's something that we've done. But we have to come into an understanding that things are changing, that aspect of what our children are doing, that's not going to change. And we have to become willing to get involved with the times. If we're going to allow young families and children and youngsters to come into our churches so that we can continue to replenish our pews, We're going to have to figure out a way to make it interactive for them, to allow them to become a part of the service as well. It doesn't mean that we have to give up anything, but it just means that we have to become open to expanding our experience. And if we can allow ourselves to do that as church groups and as communities, then we'll be doing that thing that Butterworth talked about, moving forward, letting go of the past, allowing ourselves to experience the sweet increase, the good and plenty. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to become open to a new life arising today? Are you willing to come forth in a way that allows Spirit to do its work in you? Not saying that you need to understand it, but just following the Spirit of Truth's understanding, God's understanding, allowing prosperity to really come forth. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Let's take a moment to pray. Let's bring it into existence. Sweet Heavenly Mother, Father God, right now we are open and receptive to receiving your will for us. We are open to moving forward, to bringing forth our truth, knowing that all is well, all is in divine order, that we are not giving anything up, but that we're becoming open to the fulfillment of your truth. Fill us with your purpose. Live, move, and have your being in me right now. More of you, God, less of me. More of you, God, less of me. More of you, God, less of me. And we see this happening now in the name and very nature of Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. Thank you all, Unity of Farmington Hills, and God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.